Hello and welcome to another edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson and Armin Badakian with you this week to recap some CPL action and preview some CAN Champ action as well.
Leg two.
Yeah, leg two is upon us. But before we get into that, we should recap a busy week in the CPL. A lot of quality goals.
Yeah, there was a couple bangers. There was three goals that kind of stood out to me. But before we get into them, I think it's important that we, you know, specify that all goals are equally beloved at CPL Editorial.
Okay.
But three of them were just a little extra special. And so we will be dissecting those three as well as the rest of the goals scored over Wednesday and the weekend. Starting with, I think that York 9 game was a nice little starting point.
Yep. Starting on Wednesday, York 9 hosting Pacific FC and Manny Aparicio scoring from Vaughn. I don't know York region as well as you do, Armin, but from way out, 40 yards.
Yeah. Yeah,
an incredible blast and got quite a bit of attention.
From Main Street, Unionville. Shout out to whatever bars are still open. Unionville Arms, probably? I don't even know anymore. It was just an incredible effort by Manny Aparicio. He kind of went on a little solo adventure and then blasted a rocket from like 30, 35 yards out. Celebrated, as you would expect, by ripping his shirt off and flinging it over his head, garnering another yellow card. I believe he's now the yellow card leader in the league. I asked him about that after the game, and I said, Manny, in a year of many firsts, I said, would you be proud if you were, you know, the top yellow card garnerer of the season? And he looked at me, and you know what he said, Marty? He said, it's not something I'm looking forward to. It's not something I would be proud of. But I could tell there was a little twinkle in his eye.
Well, I mean, two yellows on the first match of the Canadian Premier League as a whole. We'll get you on a good start for that. Quickly shifting to the other game on Wednesday, Forge taking down HFX 2-0. Tristan Borges with an Olympico, a beautiful goal, and Kyle Becker putting one in as well.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? Becker and Borges show? That's
yeah.
what we dubbed it.
Beautiful Becker and Borges.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Like I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, head coach Bobby Smyrniotis said after the game, not necessarily said, but he did agree with a question that asserted that Kyle Becker and Tristan Borges were the best duo in the Canadian Premier League right now. He agreed with it. He added on to it and said that they do special things and he can rely on them because they're big game performers. And I think we've seen a little bit of that. I wouldn't go so far as to call them the best duo in the CPL. I don't know about you, Marty, but in this week's breakdown, we do sort of break down what does constitute a good duo. And while the two of them are great individual players, I mean, like we saw, both goals were individual. They were set-piece routines, and they pulled them off wonderfully. Kyle Becker hit that free kick perfectly, and it looked like Emery Welshman might have got a touch on it. Mm-hmm. But then he points straight to Becker and goes, no, that's yours. So Becker gets to celebrate that one. And then Tristan Borges, an Olympico. One of those incredible goals that you very rarely see.
I felt so bad for HFX after that in a way because you just saw them looking around, especially Jan Michael Williams just went like this and then.
Yep.
Can't see my hands, but I'm sure you know
guys,
what that is.
What happened?
Well, Forge moving on to the weekend with Cadell Thomas's goal. Just at the death against Valor, 3-1, truly a comprehensive win for Forge there, capping off a pretty impressive week, I might add. But yeah, Thomas's goal in just at the death, stepping around three or four or five defenders, chip, pullback, had everything.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's the third incredible goal in our trio of goals. But that one was something special. I think I saw this morning, we record on Mondays, I saw this morning Forge posted a reverse angle with slow motion. And it's just every single touch of that ball and every single little feint and deke, it's just beautiful.
It is impressive how comfortable he is on the ball, especially when the conditions were as hot as they were. He came on as a sub, but like late in the game, it was nice.
And the cool thing about Forge is like just when you forget about a player, they return with like a vengeance. Like just when we were like, maybe Tristan Borges had like a kind of a good start. He's like, no, I still got it. And then right when we forgot about Cadell Thomas, he sort of was relegated to the bench. He's like, wait a second, remember me? And now it's like, all right, who do you start?
Yeah.
When you got a player doing that, how do you keep that on the bench?
Well, Forge coming into some great form, 3 wins in a week, and you know, coming in at an important time too with the CONCACAF League starting on August 1st on Thursday with Antigua coming to town. I feel like Forge is maybe pulling away as that second team.
It's possible. I think we kind of said it at the top of the year that they were one of the favorites, but I don't know. I mean, Forge has a lot of quality, and as long as they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to be in that mix. I don't think that there's ever been a question about their talent. And so it's just sort of business as usual for them. But are they that second team yet? I think it might just be a touch too early to make that prediction. I still think York 9 and FC Edmonton have, you know, a good stake to it. And then if Taron Campbell at Pacific keeps scoring, who knows? That team is coming together really nicely too.
Yeah, quickly, Valor losing that one 3-1. Tyler Retardo with the goal. Valor with that 0-0. At the midweek. So yeah, switching to Taron Campbell and Pacific FC, Campbell with the brace, and all of a sudden the Tridents, as I saw them called on social media, which I like that nickname.
Yeah, it's okay. Like that nickname. It's not nine stripes, but it's fine.
Yeah, we can all agree nine stripes is good.
Yeah, nine
and,
stripes
and
is,
nines. Okay, all right, never mind.
I don't know.
Pacific FC taking down HFX 3-1. Yeah, Campbell with the brace and Blasco's free kick as well.
So, who, like, this is a very strange scenario for me because I feel like at the beginning of the year, we were all on the Ben Fisk train, Issei Nakajima Ferrin, Marcus Haber. That was the trident, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
But then Issei is kind of relegated to the bench and Marcus Haber is injured. And Ben Fisk is used more, not necessarily as an attacker, but more as like an attacking number 10, midfield piece. And all of a sudden, Victor Blasco and Taron Campbell are the ones scoring goals and they score them for fun. It's been a very strange development, but perfectly timed, I would say, for Michael Silverar's side, because with Marcus Haber out injured, it would have been very easy for that team to be stuck in a kind of a dire strait. But the two of them have stepped up, and Blasco keeps scoring, and Taron Campbell's 7 goals leading the league. So it's been a really good turn of events for Pacific.
Because this might have been the first match, or maybe the one at midweek against York 9-2, where you kind of saw what Pacific FC actually could do, because... Mm-hmm. None of their players were hurt.
Yeah. I mean, like, Starro's back. That's good. I believe they've got Marcus Haber coming back pretty soon, or maybe not too much longer. So yeah,
McNaughton's around now as well. Well, it's tricky, though, because, again, on Saturday, Victor Blasco, Chung, and Starro Sickwall went down hurt.
Yeah.
So
who knows? Like, tough. That's the thing. It is a very tough schedule. I mean, you're playing a game every 4 days, basically, and it's become... a bit of a slog now for some of these teams, especially Pacific, who probably has to do a lot more travel than some of the other teams in the league. And I mean, I know Michael Silverbauer doesn't like to talk about it because, like, rightfully so. I mean, everybody has to travel to them at some point too, but It's not easy. It's not easy to be in their shoes.
Well, for HFX, I mean, they're coming into an incredible stretch of travel, like over 10,000 kilometers just in the league, not including the Canadian Championship against Ottawa Fury, which we'll get into later. You know, they seem like they're in a little bit of trouble. They did get the away goal there with Matthew Arnone scoring the first away goal for HFX, the Wanderers, in their club history.
It took them 7 games. They played once away to every single other venue and did not score. And then finally, on a return to West Hill Stadium, Matthew Arnone gets HFX's first away goal in regular season play. Very strange. But, you know, this is just kind of the growing pains of a league and of these teams. And I think the thing with HFX is now what your question is, okay, we know we can score, but how do we turn those into positive results moving forward? How do we get our first road point? How do we get our first road win? So there's still this dynamic.
So switching into the Canadian Championship here, we'll start with Cavalry and Vancouver. First off, Cavalry with a 1-0 win over York 9, an own goal there from Daniel Gogarty. Carducci with 5 saves, his 7th clean sheet in the year in the league. But they're traveling here to BC Place to take on the Whitecaps.
Yeah, I feel like Marco Carducci probably has like one glove on that Volkswagen.
One glove, I love that.
Yeah, he's probably left to like... He's like, has anyone seen my goalkeeping kit? Is it in the back of that Volkswagen that I'm about to win? Yeah, no, Carducci's been great. And, you know, he's in our top 5 statistically. The numbers are backing his performances, which makes sense. I mean, he's recorded the most clean sheets. He's consistently putting up the sort of game-winning performances where even in that last game, there wasn't too much action. York 9 didn't test too much. But when they did test, especially that last little chance that they had,
Kyle Porter. Yeah. Like it
stepped up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for the Premier Performer top five for last week, he had almost a perfect score.
Yeah,
like almost 98 had 100.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable. I mean, but that's a testament to just the quality of the player. I think we knew Carducci was one of the better goalkeepers in our league, and he's showing it week in and week out.
Former Whitecaps product, Carducci, likely between the sticks at BC Place. The Whitecaps, I mean, they are in quite some form right now.
Yeah.
If you didn't know the results, you might think that they're doing quite well, but 4-0 loss to New England and then a 3-1 loss to San Jose on the weekend.
If you look at the table upside down, they're doing quite well. they're top of the league.
Yeah, the San Jose result was tough. Daniil Henry with the lone goal there for the Whitecaps.
Yeah, Luca Gasparotto knows what that's like.
Yeah, it's again, I mean, if you're Cavalry, this is obviously positive. You know, you're coming in against a team that is you know, not doing so well in the league.
Strugglers.
Yeah, yeah. MLS strugglers for sure.
Yeah, but that's perfect for Cavalry, who are not struggling at all. In fact, any indication that they weren't going to take the fall portion of the season seriously has been, I think, eradicated. They've been on a 3-game winning streak to start the fall. They've been in hot form, 0-0 on the first leg, so they go into the second one pretty confident, I would say.
Yeah, and they did like rest a couple starters on the weekend, but it's funny, you wouldn't really notice. Like Nick Ledgerwood didn't play, I believe.
Pasquati didn't play.
Yeah, but even then, you know, they show their depth, right?
Yeah.
We know their depth.
So. Oliver Minutel was really crucial to that one goal. I think he was the guy who flicked it backwards for Jordan Brown. So, I mean, the pieces are there. Elijah Adekugbe, I believe, played at center back as well.
Yes.
So it's a case of Cavalry's depth being one of its greatest strengths, but also the fact that they know each other so well that allows that versatility. You never really know what you're going to get with Cavalry. You can get a 4-3-3, you can get a 3-4-3, you can get any variation, really. And I think that's going to be a good strength heading into BC Place.
And quickly switching to HFX and Ottawa in Ottawa. The Fury, you know, they're in pole position. HFX needs to win by, you know, multiple goals, likely.
Yeah, I mean, it's the least, I think in terms of the matchups, it's the least likely because of the three away goals. That puts a mountain that's really hard for them to climb. They have to either win by multiple goals or they have to win 4-3 or anything more than that. So it's tough. It's a tough situation for a team that doesn't necessarily do that great away from home.
Scored its first away goal in the league.
But
on,
I mean,
Saturday,
they did score 3 against Vaughan, I believe, away from
home.
Yes,
they did.
So there is a precedent in Canadian Championship, as well as against Valor, I believe.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, they have done it. It's just not in regular season play. I think that will maybe play into Stephen Hart's side. Maybe their confidence a little bit is like, well, we got nothing else to lose in this competition, so we might as well just go for it. Mm-hmm. And then having Luis Alberto Perea back is a big thing for them too. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, really, a 2-0 win is not unrealistic. It's just a matter of, well, okay, you've learned from your mistakes. Clearly, Ottawa can punish you. And that third Canadian Championship game is perhaps the most scintillating, the most exciting one that we're looking forward to. Montreal Impact versus York 9 at Stade Saputo. It ended 2-2 in the first leg, and it's set up now with Montreal 2 away goals. Gives them a bit of an advantage, but it's really up for grabs. We're joined by Arcadio Marcuzzi from Montreal. He's the French language writer at CPL Editorial. Arcadio, welcome to the Center Circle Live.
Thanks for the invite, Armin.
So let's get right into it. Montreal Impact presents a bit of a test, but from that first leg, it looked like York 9 was ready to match that level, match that intensity. What did you make from the first leg? What did you see from York 9 that you liked, and what are you expecting to see in the second leg?
Well, I think York has a newfound offensive confidence and efficiency that we saw during that first leg match against Montreal. I think that they deserve the win in that game. They were more efficient. They capitalized on Montreal's mistakes, defensively very unsound for the past month. And if it wasn't for that late kind of a blunder by Ingham, you know, the victory was very near for York. So I believe that they will come to Montreal with that kind of confidence. It's a tough result with 2 away goals conceded, but I think they have what it takes to maybe create a certain form of surprise in Montreal on Wednesday, because the trend for York is going up, and for Montreal it's quite the opposite. They're not doing good, and they're in quite a slump right now.
So before the first leg, the Montreal Impact had a pair of MLS losses, 2-1 to Atlanta United, 3-2 to Minnesota. And then following that 2-2 against York 9, the Impact went 2-0 against Toronto FC, another loss, a 4-1 derby loss, as well as a recent 2-1 loss to the Columbus Crew. It's been a rough run of form, as you've mentioned, but can you pinpoint what it is about the Impact that's causing these struggles, in, especially in this last month?
Yeah, absolutely. What was the strength of this team and at the beginning of the season, the defensive organization and the collective work on both sides of the pitch? Now it's kind of its weakness. They're hard to recognize since about a month, like I said. Very, very unorganized in the back, players cut off position more than often. It's not a player's problem. You can't pinpoint a player that's not been doing a good job. It's a collective misform. So I think there's a lot of factors and a lot of non-sport related factors that come into play. A lot of distractions lately with some players like Harry Novillo and not having the best professional attitude and behavior off the pitch. He's been bought out by Montreal. It's been confirmed today. He's not with the team anymore. So it's not a sports-related, like I said, decision by the Impact. So I think that created a little bit of dissent maybe in the dressing room. Rémi Garde, after the game in Columbus, after the loss on Saturday, was missing his words. He couldn't explain really what was going on with his team. He said that he would question himself, but at the same time, he mentioned some kind of message towards the players. So, I mean, the Impact is not doing good, and I think for York is a great moment to make a statement in Montreal.
So from the first leg, we saw that Ryan Telfer and Rodrigo Gattis both found successes coming down the middle of the park. Is this another area that you think that they can replicate their successes, or is there maybe going to be a change in tactics for both teams?
I think Montreal will definitely maybe try to change that, tactical formation, that 3-4-3, because Sam Piet obviously is not there. He's kind of the sentinel in front of the D-line, and he's not there. So I think for York, that's very good news, because with guys like Aparicio, with Porto and Telfer, as you mentioned, they can really exploit those pockets of space down the middle. The Impact doesn't have a good presence down in the middle of the pitch, nor defensively, nor offensively. They're very unidimensional. They tend to go through the wings a lot to generate offense. And I think that's a great space that players like Aparicio, Porter, and Telfer can take advantage of, most definitely, and especially with Sam Piet being absent because of an injury, but he's going to miss the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, so Sam Piet played a really important role in that first leg, especially with his midfield battle with Joe DiChara. So I'm curious, in your opinion, what is another maybe player-on-player battle that we should be watching out for as York 9 takes on Montreal?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that matchup was very intense. It lasted the entire match, and kind of showed what kind of game both teams played. I think the absence of Piet is hurts Montreal a lot, especially against a team that can really attack, and they will have to attack to get a result. So Montreal could be in trouble in that game in that sense. So I think Abzi was the only player that was rested by Brennan yesterday in Calgary. So I think maybe he's going to have an important role in Montreal. I think he's going to be inspired as well by coming back to play in Sassaputo. He mentioned that it was a dream of his, a few years back. So I think he's going to be very motivated and exploit that, that side of the defense on the Montreal end, the right side. They've been struggling. Victor Cabrera may play on that side. Roguillard, I think Miguel was trying to rest Zach Brogiar for that game, but since Bakary Sagna was sent off in Columbus, he might start the game instead. So we'll have to see who is going to be there. But I think Apsi will have a lot of room to play, and I think the motivation factor for him will definitely be there.
And we won't end on necessarily just a straightforward prediction, but if you could maybe expect to see another goal fest, or do you predict that it will be a much tighter affair between these two teams?
Yeah, you know what? I really feel, I have this feeling that this, it's a kind of match that could go crazy and turn into some sort of a slugfest, you know, and I think that would be to the advantage of York, obviously. I see a draw. I see a draw tomorrow at Sassaputo. The question is, will York be able to score three goals to be able to clinch that, you know, qualification? So I really expect a few goals, maybe another 2-2 draw, but I think York has all the chances going forward to create a huge surprise, if you can say, tomorrow in Montreal.
Well, Arcadio, I guess the only thing that's left is 90 minutes of soccer, and we'll be watching it from Montreal. Thank you very much for joining Center Circle Live, and we'll see you later.
Thank you very much, Armin.
So that was Arcadio Marcuzzi, CPL Editorial's French language writer. You can catch his content on fr.campl.ca, as well as on the main campl.ca homepage. We'll have plenty of French content this week on the website as York 9 takes on the Montreal Impact. So look for some preview stuff, some post-game stuff, and a special feature with David Chouanier, and that's all on campl.ca. So moving forward, Marty, I understand you have even more questions that you're going to hit me with.
So before we get started, you know, I would like to mention that, you know, the last segment we did, the last Marty's three questions, you know, you, Armin, you sprung a question on me, which MLS player,
oh, yeah,
or which,
right,
which opposing player, you know, would you like to see in the Canadian Championship, maybe, you know, miss their flight or not take the right Uber or something? And I said Samuel Piette.
Wow.
So as we just heard in the interview,
he's out for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, yes. So I just want to say no bad vibes.
I didn't
wish that.
The Marty curse. Marty went home.
I wasn't doing the like
little
voodoo doll
Samuel
thing.
Samuel Piette.
Yeah.
Isn't,
no.
I swear there are voodoo, or not voodoo dolls, but there are like dolls of
toys,
MLS,
yeah,
players.
If I close my eyes, I can't imagine the Samuel Piette one. I don't know why. Okay, here we go. Question one. Which goal required the most skill from this past week? Manny Aparicio's, Cadel Thomas's, or Tristan Borges?
Ooh, okay. From the big three, which we discussed earlier in the show, I would say, okay, so let's go through each one. Manny Aparicio's goal, you have to hit that ball exactly right to get it to do that. So it is a skill. But that being said, it is also a bit fortuitous because that ball can easily fly in 100 different directions. So it's like one of those cases where you need to buy a ticket if you want to win the lottery. I think that was a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you look at Tristan Borges' goal, I mean, it's like that times a million, really.
Yeah, Armin's just like looking up into the light. Just
yeah.
In admiration for that goal.
I mean, no, like an Olympico goal, it's like one of those things you practice in training as like a bit of a, like, you know, you're just goofing around with your teammates. So it's like, can I score from the corner? And then the fact that he actually did it, I don't know how much of that was him or how much of that was like
so
HFX on the far post.
Probably like, someone should have been there, or Williams probably should have got to it, I would imagine, because
yeah.
I don't know. Because you could try that. And yes, I think it's the same argument with Manny's goal, right?
I just think that the actual act of getting the ball to curve just that slight amount or more, because the angle of your curve past a certain point doesn't really matter. Like if you go further,
that's true. Yeah,
it's not like you have a very narrow window to hit it, you know. I mean, you kind of do. Actually, I'm contradicting myself as I'm saying it. Do you?
Well, I okay, well, so for my argument's sake, I think that Cadel Thomas needs the most skill because there's just so many things need to go right in that sequence.
Yeah,
right.
But once
you know
you're
what I mean?
There, I mean, well, the chip was good, so the chip was skillful.
Yeah.
And then the dribble was Ronaldinho-esque.
And pulling the ball back, like, you know,
yeah.
I all of those things needed to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, from a pure, like, how many times can I replicate this goal, like, stance, maybe Cadel Thomas's has the most variables that, like, allows for it to be properly defended. But, man, like, okay, let's just rule out Aparicio's. Aparicio's was not the most skillful goal, right?
Yes. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
It was the nicest goal, I would say.
Yeah,
it
I
made,
would say
it
that
made
too.
SportsCenter,
mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But no, I would say I don't know. I want to give it to Borges, but at the same time, it's just like, it's like a meme goal, you know? Let's say Goodell Thomas. Goodell Thomas is the most skilled goal.
We're
because it actually required skill to score it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The other ones were like, Manny Aparicio didn't really have anybody around him, mm-hmm. and Tristan Borges was standing at a corner flag. So the fact that Cadell Thomas not only scored a chip goal, which is hard, but also did it by doing all the other stuff beforehand with his tricky feet, let's give it to him.
Okay, question two. I agree, by the way. So we have a very clear deadlock that could be created, by the way, if we decide to pick one. Okay, question two. Now that HFX has broken their league away goal scoring duck, how many goals do we think they're going to score in Ottawa on Wednesday?
15. No.
I think they might score two.
I think they can score two.
Yeah.
Let's say three, just to keep things consistent. They're going to score three times because they've scored three times in their last two Canadian Championship away legs. Let's just call it.
And let's
Luis Alberto Perea hat trick.
Perea and Garcia, right? Like,
yeah. Plus Kuruma's in good form. Like,
It's not like their strikers aren't playing poorly.
Yeah, plus if Gutierrez isn't back. I mean, he is back, but if he is somehow unavailable, he's been kind of injury-prone this year. Kodai Ida's fine. Mm-hmm. And I also don't see, like, Ottawa replicating. Like, I feel like all three of their goals were so fluky. So, yeah, let's say two to three.
Okay, I'll take 2-3. Okay, final question here. Armin, you wrote about it in the breakdown. You included it in your photo of the week. A couple coaches that, you know, every coach in the CPL, I think, now kind of has their way of dressing and their way of their style has kind of come out. So my question is, which CPL coach is the best dressed?
Really?
Yeah.
This is so obvious. It's very clearly Tommy Wilden Jr.
Hmm.
With Jimmy Brennan a close second.
I'm not picking.
Who was wearing shorts the other day? Was Bobby Smirnoff?
It was 48.
Felt like 48 with humidity.
Right, and by field level, it's supposed to be hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, best dressed. To me, that doesn't mean, like, wearing a vest. It just means that they look the best.
Well, I don't think that it's necessarily one or the other. I think the whole overall aesthetic is kind of what gives it away. Jimmy Brennan knows how to wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the green tie is a really nice
lime green looks touch. Great.
But I don't know. I feel like Tommy Wilden kind of embraced the most Calgarian aesthetic possible, short of cowboy boots.
Yeah. All right. I might pick Brennan.
Like a white vest with a black shirt and a red tie, like that. You only see that in Calgary.
We might see it in Vancouver on Wednesday when Tommy Wilden Jr. leads Cavalry FC in the second leg of their qualifying round three tie with Vancouver. And then two more games on Wednesday, including HFX taking on Ottawa, and then York 9 heading up the 401 to take on Montreal at Stade Saputo. Okay, see you next week.